Well, the story starts with, it doesn't start with Jesus deciding that he needs to teach them something about prayer. That's not really how it got going. But what happened was is the disciples asked Jesus to tell them about prayer. So this is something that he's talking about, not necessarily because he thought it was a good idea or he thought it was necessary or he thought it was needed or it's something that he was going to do anyways. He just does it because they asked him to. And it says that they asked him to because John's disciples taught his disciples about prayer. So it's not even necessarily that they wanted. There's something kind of odd going on with it. But Jesus, regardless of what was odd going on, he does exactly what they ask. And he gives this wonderful prayer, which you could actually, if you're trying to get some teaching about prayer, you could look at this your whole life and get teaching from it over and over again. He says, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not to temptation. So the whole story is couched in exactly what he's talking about. They asked, and he gave it to them. But now he's talking about something else that's going on. This little part where they asked, but the real reason why they asked was because John taught his disciples. There's something else going on here. In other words, he's saying, you asked, I'm giving you what you're asking for, this teaching about prayer. But let me talk about something else that's going on because I don't think this is actually answering your question because there's something else going on in the background. He begins to transition by talking, giving this sort of analogy of this guy who's just very persistent in knocking at his neighbor's door to get some bread. Persistence. I remember my dad growing up, he passed away at an early age. But I remember one of the things he was just, he actually didn't talk to me very much. It's not that he didn't love me or whatever, he just wasn't just didn't talk that much. But when he did, almost 90% of the time, it was he would say this one thing over and over again. You can do whatever you set your mind to do. And from the young age, that just bugged the heck out of me. And I just thought, I don't know, I was like 10 years old. It was just illogical. So I thought, well, I mean, granted, but I mean, not everyone's going to make it to the NBA. Or then I try and think a little more grown up and I think, I mean, two people want to become president. They both set their mind to it, but there's only one position. How's it going to happen for both of them? I mean, there's got to be, I mean, I could set my mind to jumping off a cliff and flying. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. I just kept. But as fathers, we often phrase that, try and encourage our kids to work hard. Persistence pays off. Whatever you set your mind to. We have these things that we throw out there. And that's because we see that there's something happening here when we're persistent. But we don't understand what's going on. And that's what's happening here with his disciples. They're talking about this teaching, that John's teaching his kids, and they got half of it that like there's something going on here, and they're saying things or wanting to be able to say things like persistence pays off, be taught these different things. But Jesus says, look, there's something that you're missing here, and what you're missing is he says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And then Jesus adds something to there. He says the exact same thing again, but adds something little. He says all, or everybody. Everybody in the whole world. When they ask, receive. And those who seek, find. And to those who knock, the door will be opened. What he's saying is what we don't understand is that the reason why persistence pays off isn't because of what we think We think that we've just got a lot more potential than what we're putting out, and that we just need to press a little bit harder, and we'll see that we're stronger than we really are, that we can accomplish more than we really are. And it's not to say that, you know, we use all of our potential. Of course we don't. We squander everything we have, so we'd squander our potential too. That's just our nature. But what he says is, when it works out, it's not because you've dug deeper into yourself. It works out because God sees that you really want this and just gives it to you. He says that's the part that you're missing. We want teaching, and a lot of times we want it because we want to be able to dig deep into ourselves and try and prove and make something happen. And Jesus says that's not what's going on. What's going on is God loves you, he cares about you, and he sees that you really want something, and he just gives it to you. And it's not necessarily because it's a great thing to give, or he decided to give it, or he would have given it. It's like this teaching that they're asking for, Jesus wasn't necessarily going to give that. But they just asked for it, and he gave it. And he says, that's the way it is for everybody, whether people see them as good or bad, whether we think they're deserving or not. In other words, it has nothing whatsoever to bear with you as a person coming to a place of deserving something. You know, a lot of times, that's why we want teaching. We want teaching because we want God to respond to us because we've gotten to some sort of place where now we deserve it. And Jesus says, look, I'll give you what you asked for, the teaching. But, I mean, you're mistaken if you think that I'm giving it to you because you deserve it. He says here in the passage at the end, he says, you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. In other words, he's talking to his disciples. He says, you asked, and even though you're evil, I still answered you. Even though you kind of are asking for this odd reason with having to do with John, and I'm going to explain a little more to you, but I still just gave it. As a father, this is sort of one of the difficult things. You know, sometimes where we fail as fathers, one of the biggest ways that we fail is we either make our love conditional or we communicate that it is conditional. Whenever a child thinks that their parent's love is unconditional or is, excuse me, conditional, that's a failure of some sort. And usually it's us. But what Jesus is saying is, God doesn't fail like that. He makes it clear his love is unconditional. Anybody that asks, he will give it. He's not making that mistake. And yet the problem is that we keep trying to force it to be conditional. Even though it's clear God loves us unconditionally, the reason why we don't see that or we're not catching up, it's not because God's failed somewhere. It's because we've got this problem where we're demanding to see it that way. And that's one of the places where fathers on earth fail, is we make our love conditional. But there's a secondary problem going on behind the scenes that even with God, where he doesn't fail on that, it's still a failure because we force it to be that. That's the way we choose to see it. The next thing he says is, which of you fathers, if your son asks him for a fish, will give him a snake instead? I mean, that seems obvious. I'm not having a snake in my house, so why would I? If you want a fish, you can have a fish, but I know that's not what he's talking about. Or if he asks for an egg, I'd be happy if my kid asked for an egg. If they ask for a scorpion, no. No, that's missing the point. You see what he's saying there is, sometimes we think that what a father needs to do is when our children ask for something, we need to turn it around and make it a good request. See, it's not just that we make our love conditional on trying to show that we're good and we deserve it so that God's love will be conditional. But we try and turn our requests around like that too. And we think, well, what God's saying is we asked for something, but that's not really good for us, and so he's going to give us something that is. That may happen, but that's not what Jesus is talking about here, because he's not switching the gift up. He says, they've asked for A, and he's not going to give them B. In other words, he's going to give based on what they've asked for. In other words, what he's saying is, God's not going to demand that we come to the place that he thinks is good. He demonstrates his love unconditionally by coming to the place where just what we think is. Now, where does that come up as a father? It comes up all the time. If, you know, hopefully we don't do this too much, but where we fail oftentimes and we don't think we're failing, but we feel like we're succeeding, is we may demand that our kids sit down at dinner time and eat the spinach that we cooked for them. And it's for their own good. Even though it's completely contrary to their desire. And we just start, and it's not that's, I'm saying that's bad. It is what it is. I remember when I was a young dad and didn't really know what I'm doing. Now I've become so wise, I'm just sticking to the spinach side of things. But when I was younger and just didn't know what I was doing, I would get the kids up in the middle of the night, wake them up out of bed, and say, let's go get ice cream. We go get ice cream. That's coming to where my kids are at. And now that I've learned never, ever to do that, I force them to always come to where I'm at on stuff. That's a difficult thing. And that's where we fail as parents and as fathers. One, we make our love conditional when it was never meant to be that. And two, we really need to see, or let our kids see, that we're coming to them. That it's not just about forcing them to fit into what we think is best. That whether, you know, he says, you, though you were evil, they're asking for this. It's not that what they're asking for is the best. It's just they're desiring something, and he's communicating something by just giving it to them. And what he's communicating isn't necessarily that it's the best thing. He's not when I'd give my kids ice cream, that wasn't the best thing. You know, it wasn't good at all. But it did communicate something, and what it communicated was good. And that's that I love you, and I care about you, and I'm going to come to where you are. And that's not necessarily a bad thing all the time. What Jesus is saying is look, behind this request is you want to make this love conditional. It's not. God loves us unconditionally. And you want to have this strength of being able to say, the reason why God's doing this for me is because I've asked for the right thing. That's not why God's doing it. When we ask for stuff, we would like for it to be that God has to do it because we've decided and we know it's the right thing, but that's not why God's doing it. Jesus says, in a few more verses, he says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his house, his possessions are safe. Now, that's the way we think sometimes, right? But then he explains something else. He says, but when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. See, what we're doing when we say, I want to have teaching, John's disciples had teaching, and we want to have marriage, what we're really doing is we're trying to create this situation where I'm better than someone else, or I'm more powerful, or I'm more deserving, and we take trust in that. And he says, if that's the case, there's always going to be someone stronger in whatever it is that you think you're taking your trust in. But where you should take your trust in is that God loves you and God cares for you, and no one can outpower God. And his love is unconditional. His love is based on us and our heart and making us happy, not trying to force us into what he wants. Then he ends, he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What the Holy Spirit is, he starts with, you, though you are evil. What that means is you've separated yourself from God. And the Holy Spirit is the promise that God is willing to forgive us, and he's willing to be with us, not just externally, not up in heaven, not even like Jesus. Jesus came down from heaven to be where we are, to be with us. But the promise of the Holy Spirit goes beyond Jesus, God coming down to be with us. It's the promise of God being not just externally with us, but internally in our heart, in our soul, in the closest place that you could possibly be to someone, him being there in that place. And what he says is, well, if you ask for that, of course I'm going to give that to you. Why? Because he's already made it clear he wants to be with us. Where we fail as fathers is, you know, fatherhood is actually, on the base of it, a very, very simple thing. And where we fail as fathers is just not being there. That's the biggest failure. Just not being there. God doesn't fail at that. But we still feel like, God, where are you? Why is it we feel like, God, where are you, when he's not? When you look at the problem, God has come down from heaven, right? He's up in heaven. He's become a human being, right? Even though we're all completely evil, he says. He still became a human being. He's sitting there talking with them, hanging out with them, drinking with them, eating with them, just blah, blah, blahing with them. And then they say, oh, teach us how to talk to you. What, doesn't that sound weird? He's with them. What Jesus is waiting for, and what a lot of this life really is, it really comes down to, God is here with us. And he wants to be even closer, in that closest part that he could possibly be, just completely knit, not just externally, but in our heart. But he's just waiting and giving us space and giving us freedom and coming to be where we are, whether it's good or bad. And in this, a lot, most of the time is bad, but he just comes and bees there with us. And the reason why is he's just waiting to see what we have to say. Do we want to be with him or not? And it's that simple. Fatherhood is simple. Just be there. But there's a secondary issue that comes up, that even when God our Father is there in the most perfect way possible, there's still that question then, what do we want? Do we want to be with him or not? And you don't need a teaching to teach you how to be with that. He's just asking in your innermost part, do you want me to be in your life or not? Not because you have to, because if you're not, then you're not going to get this and this. Not God as a, like an ATM machine. He's saying, as a father, as a person who's come down and is now with you, do you want to be with me or not? And a lot of what this life is, him just giving us some space, and it takes us a long time. And we've got it all mixed up because, of course, our Father isn't always there. Of course, our Father, you know, has unconditional love. Of course, why? Because everybody's messed up. So, of course, that's all going to be messed up. But it's not messed up with God. But there's still this secondary thing. Will we let go of the demand that his love be conditional and just be satisfied with him being with us unconditionally? Does our request have to be righteous, or will we just be satisfied with him saying, look, I just love you, and I'm just going to do what you ask? Are we just satisfied with saying, God, all I really need is just to know you're with me? You know, a lot of times when I pray, I'll start off with, I really want this to happen and this, and then I always make the mistake of thinking about it a little bit, and then I realize, actually, I don't really know if I want that to happen, because I really don't know what that would do. Like, that might not be the best thing. And then I start thinking, I don't really know what the best thing is. I don't even know what to ask. And then it usually comes down to, when you really sit down and think about it, it's like, God, I just need a little bit of encouragement here. But what I'm really asking for is, God, I know you're there. I know you're with me. But I don't know why. I just need some sort of more assurance that you're here. I need to feel closer. And that's what he promises. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit. Is him saying what all the requests come down to is a sense of closeness that we have. All the requests that we have of our Father in this life, it really comes down to this, is just, does our Father love us? Does our Father want to be near us? And do we want to be near our Father? And all the mistakes mean that that can only happen via forgiveness. But with God, there's no forgiveness needed on God's part in terms of what he's done. And he's not forcing change. We can clearly do anything that we want to do. We go out and do all sorts of stupid stuff all the time. It just comes down to this. God is saying over and over again, I love you unconditionally. I care about what you desire. I care about you. I'm willing to come to you. I'm willing to just be there in your life, however that may be. I don't care if you're in jail. I don't care if you're messed up. I don't care. I mean, I care, but I'm going to be there with you regardless. And now I'm just giving you some space because I just want to hear from you. I'm not going to force myself on you. I'll stand there externally as Jesus knocking on the door. But where I really want to be is internal, inside, at that closest place. And if you let me in, then I'm going to be there with you. Let's pray. As everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed as we're praying, just to give folks a little bit of privacy. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior and you would like the Father to just be with you and give you that assurance, it only comes through forgiveness, but all forgiveness is just us saying, God, if you'll accept me as I am and forgive me, I really want you to be in my life. And if you like that of Jesus and you've never asked him, raise your hand and I'll pray with you right now. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for just the unconditional love that you give us, and forgive us for just constantly putting that demand on you to make it conditional. Help us to just rest in the unconditional love that you have for us. Help us to find rest in you coming and meeting us and just being with us in this life, as even though we just keep messing up and keep doing all sorts of stupid stuff, but just thank you for just being here with us and not putting the demand on us that we straighten up and that we fix everything, because we're just not capable of doing that. But just thank you for just being here with us. And Jesus, thank you for giving us some space. And help us to just square out our thoughts. And help us to really start thinking about the real question at hand, which isn't us getting everything right. It's just a simple question of whether we want you with us or not. And with these last few songs, Jesus, we really want to say that we do want you with us right here. We put this all before you in your name, Jesus. Amen.